about making sure. Remember we talked about in Revelation where he warned us? Mm-hmm. He said in the last days, what will happen? Number one, Jesus will no longer be their first love. Mm-hmm. People will remove him, and more than likely what will be replaced is self. Mm-hmm. And you'll love yourself more than you'll love him. And once that happens, it'll produce in you a lukewarmness. Revelation 3, remember that? It'll produce in you a lukewarmness towards God and the things of God. That means it'll be a lukewarmness toward the church. Because we are the things of God in the earth. You are the light in this world. You are the carrier, if you would. You are infected, if you want to be called that, with the Godhead.
Amen.
That infection needs to go through every part of your body, your life, your mind, your heart, your body. And when that happens, all of a sudden, things start sprouting out of you that never was there before. Amen? So what happens is people start getting lukewarm. First of all, they take Jesus off the center. Jesus is no longer their first love. Number two, they start growing lukewarm. And number three, Matthew 24, remember what he said? In the last days, hearts will grow cold.
Right.
So you'll go from taking Jesus off first, becoming lukewarm, to a cold heart.
Right.
Amen? Hallelujah. It's getting quiet in here. That's nobody here, obviously. Everybody here is connected to the vine.
Amen?
Amen? But let me show you something here first. Let's go back to John 15. Read this real quick. I'm going to read it real quick and just mention it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want you to see something. Jesus speaking in verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. In other words, I'm the vine. And the Father is the one who does the pruning and takes care of the vine. How many of you know you'd like to be taken care of by God? Listen to me. Just because you're being taken care of by God doesn't mean he's going to do some correcting. Why? Well, you tell your child not to play in the middle of the street for a reason. God brings correction to your life. And understand this. Look at your life and you can see the correction of God in it if you're his child.
Yes.
You really can.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
Amen.
We talked about that before service. God loves those who he corrects. Okay? All right. So, when we start to see these things, now look what he says. We got God taking care of us. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I want you to see this. Because it's critical. Just because you're connected to the vine does not mean you're his. Any branch that does not bear fruit, that means the branch is connected to the vine, but not producing fruit. He said in that day, he said, remember what he talked about? He took tares and the wheat growing up together. The tare doesn't know it's a tare.
Mm-hmm.
It thinks it's a wheat. The branch doesn't know that it's not bearing fruit. It thinks it is. Let me Matthew 7, go there. You know this scripture. I'm going to show you. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, they're saying to themselves, yeah, I'm saved. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Yep, yep. But there's no fruit. They think there is because they're saying he's Lord. Remember we talked about examine yourself. If you're of the faith. Don't let others tell you where you stand. Let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God dictate where you stand.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And do not stand there and say, I'm all right. Because you can deceive yourself into thinking you're all right.
Amen.
What did he say? Lean not on your own understanding, but through prayer and supplication, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to God. What the Lord said to me this morning, he said, Dave, every day you get out of bed, you should pray and ask me what I'm supposed to do today, what you're supposed to do today, and I will order your footsteps. If I order your footsteps, prosperity, protection, peace will be yours. But if you go your way and wait to get into the mess, if he orders our footsteps, would he warn us of something coming? But if we don't ask, you have not because you ask not. And he said after that, he said, you ask amiss. You ask for your own selfish motives. So I'm not asking God to direct my footsteps so I can become rich and I can go out and enjoy the world and do the things I want to do. I ask God to order my footsteps so that I become fruitful for him in this world. And then when I'm done with this world, I guarantee you God will accept me into his presence because he will see the fruit of my life.
Hallelujah.
Well, I just believe Jesus is who he is. Yes, so does the devil. He believes Jesus who he is. Matter of fact, he said demons believe and they tremble at it. But we don't. We're smarter than that.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Wisdom is just doing things God's way.
Amen.
Man, it's smarter to do it his way. When I don't have wisdom, I ask, and he's willingly giving it to me.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I'm not sure what my day is going to be, but I know you already know what it can be. Either I take the left fork or the right fork, but I know if I take the right fork, it's ordered of you. If I take the left fork, it's just what I'm doing. Most of us get out of bed in the morning and say, I've already got my day planned. And we don't ask him about anything unless we get in trouble. Amen? So what we want to do, okay, Lord, I want to make sure my branch is fruitful. Amen? You want to have a positive, listen, you want to have a positive life for yourself and for everybody you come in contact with. You want positivity going with you wherever you go. That he said that wherever you set your hands, it prospers. Prosperity is not having more of something. Prosperity is never being in need for anything. True prosperity. When the rich man went in and he gave his offering and he was saying, oh, look at me, I'm all this and I'm all that. Forget it. He was poorer than anybody. But when the widow went in and gave everything she had, she was rich. Amen? So what I want you to get to is this. Understand something. We're talking about being branches. We're talking about being the wheat. We're talking about, look, we have to examine ourselves. We need to go to the Father and say, Lord, am I being fruitful in my life? Is there fruit? Is there bearing out that you live in me and I'm connected to you? Because if you're connected to the vine, then you will see the very life flow of God Almighty. I'm talking about the God, one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No other God would be flowing through that vine, who is Jesus Christ. Right into you. And that life does produce good. All good things come from our Father in heaven.
Amen.
Don't, and again, I'm going to tell you something. That which is good is eternal. That which is temporal is defective. That which is carnal, I should say, is temporal. There, how's that? Also defective. What do I mean by that? That which is good is eternal. It goes on forever. Goodness doesn't stop. The temporal things rot away after a while. When your marriage is set in heaven, it's good. And it'll last. When it's set down here in a carnal life, it'll rot away eventually. I know something. People can still operate in the goodness of God without being saved. You understand that? There are people out there who live a good and godly life who really aren't saved. How can that be? God loves everybody, and he says, I let it rain on the just and the unjust. So you can have good marriages and the people not saved. But that's not the point. The point we're trying to make is that you check yourself. You examine your life. Amen? And again, please, I beg of you, do not think to yourself, I'm all right. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God prove it to you. And then when you have to stand on something and somebody comes up to you and says, well, look at you, you can say, this is what the Word said.
Amen.
This is what the Word says. I know because the Word says it. Well, I'm not perfect. No. Nobody asked for perfection. That's God's work. Do you know it's God's work to perfect you? Not your work. That's the good news. What did I say? All good things come from the Father. The Father of lights, Him. Remember I told you about that dream I had? And I said, God just loves to give good gifts to His children. God loves to bless you. That line that comes straight out of heaven, right through the sun, right into your life, is all good. If there's anything wrong in your life that's evil, it's not from God. You understand that? Jesus said, I did not come to destroy, I came to bring life and to give it to him more abundantly. God wants you to live a life that has such power in it, such a knowledge of your Heavenly Father that you can go to the Father and ask anything and you can have it. Do you know the Bible says that God will withhold no good thing from you? Not one good thing. Is having sufficient food good? Sure. Having clothing to wear? Sure. Remember we talked about, do you care whether it's a hot dog or a steak? Can you be content with either one? When you're content with the hot dog, God will give you the steak. Amen. But when you complain because you don't have steak, hallelujah. Praise God. How we doing? All right. Let's take a step and say this. How do we get to that place where we can see the fruit growing on the branch that we are? How do we get there? I think there's one thing that it takes, one thing alone. Go into Isaiah 1:19. So we established the fact this morning, amen? We established the fact this morning that we're all branches that can produce fruit. And already you are producing fruit. But there's more fruit. You'll be producing fruit until the day you go home. Amen? You'll be getting new fruit. You'll be getting more fruit. You'll be getting stronger fruit. You'll be fruity. Amen?
Wow.
You'll be fruity. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, the thing is, you're not only to be fruity, you're to be so fruity that others come and eat off of your branch. That fruit is not just for you. That's what he's saying. Yes, you can partake of it and you can be blessed by it, obviously. But the idea of the fruit, Jesus came so that he could give life to others. That's what you are called to do. You're called to, you're called to be fruity so others can come eat from the vine, the branch, and then understand that you have the opportunity. As they're eating from your fruit, you have the opportunity to share the good news with them about being fruity themselves.
Yeah. Amen.
That's really what it's all about.
Yes.
See, you can go tell somebody they're sinners, and they already know it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care. But when you operate the way God operated with through Jesus, Jesus didn't come and tell me I was a sinner. He came and told me I was beloved of my Father. He came and told me my Father loves you. And I'm going to show you how much he loves you. And that's what you do. You walk up and say, you know, Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you how much he loves you. I'm going to lay hands on you and you're going to be healed. I'm going to lay hands on you and you're going to be delivered. God's going to set you free right now because God loves you and he wants you to know that. That's the fruit you're bringing to the world out here. That's out there without hope. They're looking around, walking around, thinking that, man, I could sleep into this morning. Yeah, and? Yeah, but what? Does it bring anything to you? You just wasted half a day sleeping till noon. Then they get up and watch football. Watch the Giants lose again. Amen? Does that bring fruit to you?
No.
No, it makes you miserable. Amen? Well, I get up and eat a big meal. And you got a stomach ache. You get fat. You get lazy. That's no good. Amen? God wants you to be fruitful so that others can eat from the fruit of your branch. You're going to reach people with your branch as a branch that I can't. Amen? You've got people you know that'll listen to you. When you go and talk and act like them, what do they want from you? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you truly love somebody as God loves you and gave his son, you would know that they're going to hell without him. If you really, truly had the fruit of love in your life, you'd have more love for them than to just be accepted by them. You're even willing to lay down your life for them. Well, they won't want anything to do with me. Then I'll be lonely. No, you won't. Jesus is with you always. He said they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They hated me, they're going to hate you. Different type of message, eh? Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if I want this. I hate to tell you what's coming here in America. I hate to tell you. If you think that all things are going to be rosy and good, and then we go home and be rosy and good too, no, there's going to be a price to pay. There's a cost. All right, amen. Listen to what he said in Isaiah 1, verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. So in other words, how can we be sure that we are connected to that vine and we produce fruit in our lives? How can we be sure of that? Because I'm willing and obedient at the very cost of my own self. That's hard. It doesn't just come. And I'm not there perfectly yet either. I still struggle. But see, I want others, and I told you this many times, the Lord told me a long time ago, unless you're willing to die, others can't live. If you've got loved ones that you care about, if you've got friends and neighbors and co-workers you care about, it's going to cost you something to be a light to them, to be an example to them, so that they come partake of the fruit off your life. And understand there is a God who loves and cares about them. You have to be willing. I'm willing, Lord. I love it Paul said, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Understand that. That's why we depend upon him to give us the strength to resist the temptation not to be fruitful. See, we, in our own lives, we're content to be saved and go to heaven. But when you're connected to the vine that produces fruit, our heart breaks for the lost. Our passion for their salvation, our compassion for their hurting and dying, not even knowing that they're dying out there, not even knowing the result of their eternal life is eternal death, separation from God. They don't know that. And once you're connected to the vine, you can no longer be selfish. It doesn't work. It doesn't. When that life force is coming through to you, it's always looking around and saying, oh Lord, how can I reach them? How can I touch them? Father, when I drive in here in the mornings, I look at the people, I go, oh God, they're out there doing this and they're doing that and they're doing this and they're doing that. And they think it's all right. They think it's all right. They're like they're walking through the fields without even looking down until a rattlesnake bites them. Then it's too late. But when you're connected to the vine, you have this heart. Oh, Father, I am a willing servant to the Most High God. You instruct me this morning how to walk this day. He may not tell you to do anything. He'll just go your way. Pray, keep an ear open for the voice of God. Let him minister through you, however, wherever. You might not that day, and you might not the next day, but there will come a day. There'll come a moment. There'll become an opportunity to become one with, all right. Somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I'm hurting. Somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. My marriage is falling apart. I don't have anything to eat. I don't have any clothes to wear. I don't have a home to live in. I don't have this. I don't have that. It's not you. Understand this. It is you and it's not you. Amen. It is you and not you. And I want you to know God will take care of you and love you. He'll love you even if you don't become totally ready to be used. God loves you. He says when you stand up in heaven and you get there and all of a sudden all your works of your life are thrown into this fire, it says that which doesn't get burned up, you'll get rewarded for. Some of them will stand there and there will be no reward. All their works will be burned up, but they said they'll be saved as if through fire. Know this, every one of us who are true vines or true branches connected to the vine, fruitful, all of us will stand in heaven and before Jesus Christ and give an account of our lives. I don't believe that you are going to be judged there so that whether you go to heaven or not. No, 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 no. The Bible tells us they're already judged. But these are for the believers. These are for the fruitful branches. We'll stand up there and all our works, everything, will be thrown into this fire. And Jesus will stand there and whatever doesn't get burned up, he'll bring it out. And he says, I'm going to reward you for these works. What is the difference between the reward that you'll get and all that stuff that's burned up? Those you lived selfishly and those you did for God. And you say, well, I don't care if I get reward. Yes, you will. You know, the Bible says that when you get to heaven, they'll wipe away all your tears. That means there's tears in heaven. Why tears in heaven? Because you'll realize all the wasted life you had down here where you could have served him. And you could have been a blessing to others and you served yourself that whole time. You'll go to heaven and you'll be in there. Praise God. Yay! But in the end of all things, really truthfully, you want the best joy in your life. Listen to me. The best joy that you've ever had in your life will be the day that you tell somebody about Jesus and they receive him as Lord and Savior. And you knew at that moment you saved one soul from hell. You kept one out of hell because you were fruitful that day. That's the best day of your life. I'm telling you, you may not think so, but that's the best day of your life. God enables that to happen. God gives you the privilege of being the one who sowed. Maybe others have sowed to that person. Maybe others have spoken to that person. And others, you never know. But that moment, God gave you the opportunity. He said, I want you to be blessed today. All the other stuff. You can have everything in this world. What profit a man if he gained the whole world but loses his, what, soul? His mind, his will, his emotions. Listen. When all we can think about is self, we consume ourselves. We'll eat ourselves up. Understand, the flesh can never, ever, ever be satisfied. Ever. You can't. You can't watch enough TV. You can't be on the computer enough. You can't do the things out there that you want to do in the world enough. You'll never be satisfied. You can't go on enough vacations. You can't go and play golf enough. You can't do bowling enough. You can't do anything. You cannot satisfy the flesh. It's demanding. And if you submit to it, it will order your life rather than you ordering it. Paul said, I cause my body, I speak to my body and demand it to do what I tell it to do. He knew that the flesh was so powerful that it could demand from him that which he was unwilling to do. He said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we see, if you are willing, just tell him, I'm willing, Father. I'm willing to be a fruit bearer for you. Understand this too, that this won't bring you glory. It's much easier to stand in front of a bunch of people and tell them how much Jesus loves them, and if you just give your tithes and offerings, God's going to bless you and you're going to be happy. Everything's going to be fine. Jesus heals you. That's easy. Tickle your ears, make you feel good. But I want you to prosper. I want you to prosper. I want you to be so strong the devil fears and runs from you. I don't want any evil to get to your life. When you stay connected to the divine and that life flowing through you, the devil will come up and try to tempt you. You can just look at it and laugh.
Amen.
It is written.
Hallelujah.
Man shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It is written. But you have to have that knowledge of who you are and what's available to you, because I've got connections. I've got connections. They say it in the government. Oh, he's got connections. Nah, mine's much higher than theirs.
Come on now. Come on.
My connections are all, they go all the way to the very top, and there is no place else for it to go. And I say to that, what did he say? If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, if you stay connected and remain with me, and I'm your word, his spoken word is coming into our hearts and taking root and starts producing fruit, and that fruit then starts producing life. Life. Now you start to live. That's why all these, we talked about it before, all these people who are being martyred, they can actually go through it with peace. Mm-hmm. Because they no longer live. It's Christ who lives in them.
Ah.
Look what the Lord has done. It's a great and mighty work that he has done and he is doing.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where are we? Oh, I still got a lot of time. Glory to God. All right, Lord, I'll go there. Go to Psalm 1. Amen? Psalm 1. That's my favorite psalm. That's my psalm. I claimed that when I first got saved. I claimed Psalm 1 the first I got saved. I said, that's mine. I take it. How many know you should take something like that? When you see the Word of God and it strikes something in your heart, say, that's mine. That's me. That's mine. That's who I am. Amen. Look at Psalm 1. Blessed. Who wants to be blessed?
Amen.
Amen. The fruit is what blesses us. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I hear so much. People have a problem with me because when they ask for advice, I give them the Word of God. I'm not giving them anything else. Well, they want to just hear. No, they don't. They don't need to know what I think. I tell people this all the time. Make up your mind who you will serve. Because the one you serve, you will obey.
Amen?
Amen? If you're going to serve this world and you're going to be part of this world, and this person over here said, okay, the doctor said, okay, you're done in 2 weeks. You're done. Well, accept them. Or the doctor says, well, you can't do that anymore. Okay, accept it. If that's what you want. If you want the wisdom that comes out of his knowledge, you can take it. And I advise you to fully follow it. Now, if you're a fruit bearer, amen, listen to me. You're connected to the vine. Father, I know what they said. What do you say about it? I know what they said. What do you say about it? Now, God says you're healed. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not talking about the logos, the written word. I'm talking about the rhema word of God comes to your heart. We're going to talk about that later. You've got, if you're connected, you've got to hear the voice of God. You've got to hear the voice of God. Not my voice, not anybody else's voice around you. You need, because when you get one word from God, it changes everything.
Amen.
You understand? That's why you've got to hear that. It's critical in this day and age, because there's so many voices out there instructing you on what to do, and the loudest voice of all is your flesh.
Amen.
Flesh will produce fear. But the fruit of the Spirit will produce faith. Amen? When God speaks, trust me, when he says something, it will come to pass. If you will heed it and obey it. Too many of us are listening to people who are not listening to God. And they're accepting their wisdom. Now, hear me. On a job, you're right. You got a boss. You need to listen and obey. But if that boss tells you to do something and it doesn't feel right, go to God. Because it might be just something getting you in trouble and you don't even know it.
Amen.
But God's wisdom,
that's right,
will direct your footsteps. He'll say, don't do that.
Jesus.
Well, why not, Lord? Just don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Our problem is we don't listen because we don't spend time asking. Because we lean on our own understanding, we lean on our own wisdom, the earthly wisdom, because we know how to live this life down here in a fashion. Well, I've got all I need. I got plenty of money to do what I want to do, so I'm fine. No, you don't know. There are traps are set for you. The enemy's waiting for you around the next corner. You don't know that. But God does. God will instruct you. He told us. He will lead us. He will guide us. Amen? So we need to hear his voice. Father, this is what they're telling me over here. What do you say? And you wait. What do you say, Lord? Wait. What do you say, Lord? What did he tell us? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. You don't know what God's speaking to you unless you ask and then you listen. But he will speak. He will speak to you. The moment God speaks, do you remember for those who were out on Wednesday nights, we were doing those tapes on Catherine Coleman, remember? They said people were in the congregation and the Spirit of God was telling them get up and do this and do that. That they couldn't do on their own. And as they got up and did as they instructed, they were healed. Jesus told the lepers, go tell the priests. And on their way, they were healed. As God instructs you, watch and do what he tells you to do. And trust me when I tell you this, every one of us, God wants to speak to you. Every one of us. He wants to show us. The other day, I was sharing with Diane a dream that I had the other night. And I guess it's apropos for now, so I'm going to bring it. I didn't at the moment, but I thought maybe it was just, but I think it'll fit here in the way I hope it comes forth. In this dream, we were in a church congregation, and I was there, and I wasn't up front, I was in the back. And there was no walls, just open, big pillars, big. So I figured it must have been some kind of tropical place, you know, some place where it was warm enough, you don't need walls and all this stuff. And it was a lot of people, and they were all, you know, worshiping. And the worship team came up, and it was blessed today. Thank you, guys. You guys did a wonderful job. I was really blessed by it. But this worship team was professionals, man. And they were doing acrobatics. And they were doing all this stuff up there. And then everybody was excited, you know, and all this, just acrobatics. I mean, they were doing crazy stuff. And so I'm standing there, I was standing near a pillar, actually, and somebody came up and snuck around their hand and handed me a mic and asked me if I'd come up and speak a few words. And I really, you know, when I go someplace else, I like to just sit in the back and be left alone and kind of just enter into the services. But I said, all right. So I got up and I started saying a few things, and I don't think it was important what I said, but what I remember at the end of it was that everybody was chanting, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everybody was just, ah, Jesus. And so I gave the mic back and I went around, and then it just calmed down and everybody was like the service was getting over with. And so I was walking around and I wanted to hear what people were saying, and I come over and there was a long line of people over here. And I went up to it and I wanted to listen to what they were talking about. They must be talking about Jesus, obviously. Talking about Jesus. And I come up and I looked. And they were all in line for food. And they were slicing off meat. And then they were taking the fat of the meat and putting it on their bread with it. And, you know, the fat is the king's portion. And so what was happening was they were able to, for a moment, Jesus, 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 and the next moment they were feeding their carnal flesh. And they were taking that which belonged to Jesus, which was their conversation. See, if we can enter into his presence and out of his presence so easy, his presence really has no meaning to us. God bless you. It doesn't mean we can't have conversations that aren't about Jesus. But I kind of have this thing that I usually end up talking about him somehow. Because to me, he's it. And that's just me. And I'm not saying anybody's wrong. You know, when you go back there and talk and have, there's nothing wrong with that. Please don't take it that way. But I want you to get to a place as you want to be in his presence and talking about him more than you want to talk about the Giants losing again. Understand what I'm saying? Yes, we should have conversation. Yes, we should have communication. And yes, we should be able to stand and talk to one another about different things. But let it all come back to Jesus at the end of our conversation.
Amen.
When you walk away, bless them. Have a blessed day. Pray that Jesus will bless you today. God bless you. Amen? When it's Christ is the center, then he is the center. Don't let it come in here and then go out there and just become like everybody else out there. You're not. Amen. You're not. I hate to tell you this. If you are the branch that produces fruit, you are not like them out there.
Amen. Amen.
And you better need to recognize it quickly. Because they're going to try and get you to be like them. They want you to talk like them. They want you to act like them. And when you act differently, when you talk differently, when you declare Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and he is the only way to the Father, they're going to come against you. And you, those people who said they're your friends, will become your enemies quickly. They will. There's an antichrist spirit in America that hates Christ and anything connected to him. Well, look around, listen. They can talk about God. They won't let you talk about Jesus. Let me go back here. Blessed the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Make sure if you're going to seek wisdom, seek it from above and seek it from godly people you know will pray with you and believe with you to hear the truth. Don't make decisions on your life, on your family's life, based on what other people say, what other people think, even what you think. If it lines up with the word, that's one thing. Now, what it's up. Remember this. This is all choice. He said, I give you the choice of life and death. You choose this day who you'll serve. God will never force us to do anything that we don't want to do. That's why he said you must have a willing heart. I'm willing, Lord. Will you do anything I ask you to do? I will be obedient, Lord. Are you sure? Yes, Lord. If you missed, say, Father, forgive me. I missed it. I repent. Shall I go back and do it? He'll let you know. Maybe too late. Maybe he'll wait for the next time. But you'll be tried. You'll be tested. God'll watch. And not in a critical eye. Oh, what are you doing? You're not doing this. No. God understands there's some who are still in the milk and some are willing to get into the meat of things. Remember what Paul wrote? He said, some of you should be teachers by now, but I'm still forced to feed you milk. Milk is just knowing that Jesus loves you and died for you. That's milk. The meat of it is this. I become a living sacrifice. I lay down my life. I pick up my cross and deny myself. I follow Christ no matter what the cause, no matter what it is. There you're in the meat of the things. That only comes, listen to me, don't. And I'm speaking to the choir here because everybody is this way. There's nobody who's still on milk in this place. It takes mature people in Christ to partake of the meat. You do not give a steak to a baby who's still on milk. You give it to a mature person who knows how to eat it without choking. If this is choking you a little bit, take smaller bites. Chew it a little longer.
Amen.
Meditate on it. Chew on it. Meditate on it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. What I said before was, I want prosperity, spirit, soul, and body for everybody in this place. I want you to know that if I go to the Father, I'm getting what I ask for because I know who I am, I know who he is, I know who I'm connected to, and I know his promises never fail. And you're asking according to his will. All right? You're asking according to his will. Remember what he said, a willing and obedient heart. You're asking according to his will. Father, if it be your will today, I could use another $8,000 and we can do our parking lot. It's my prayer. God's will. Is it your will, Lord? I don't know if it's his will. It's my will. Will God do just what I want? Not always. Not always. But it's possible. All things are possible if you can believe. Still love me?
Yes.
Okay, let's go back here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the scene of the scornful. In other words, they don't hang around people who don't want Jesus in their life. They go there. Look, Jesus always, he would go and sit with sinners, but he always told them about the kingdom of God. He sat down with them, partook with them. Yes, he showed them and told them about the kingdom of God. When you're fruitful and the fruit is growing in you, you can sit down at a family dinner. Somebody will be next to you saying, oh, I don't feel well. And all of a sudden you just reach over and touch him and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And they get healed and all of a sudden they go, what happened? I was convinced it's time for my confession again. Yeah, oh yeah, I got lots of them. Oh, I don't know about you, but I miss God sometimes every day.
Yes.
Sometimes every day I miss some opportunity that my fruit can shine and bring glory to the Father. I go and pick up food at this place. And God reminded me of this, trust me, because the next time I go, I'm going to have to do what he told me to do, not because I have to, because he's forced me to do it, because I want to do it. And I've been going to this place, and I've been talking to this one guy. He's a manager there, and I've been talking to him for, I don't know how long we've been going there, 2 or 3 years now, whatever it's been, 4 years. And I've talked to him about Jesus. I talk to those guys all the time about, well, they look around what's going on in the world today. They ask, well, what's that mean about what the Word of God says or what the Bible say about all that stuff? So I share with them what I know, not always know something. And God gave me a perfect opportunity, and I blew it. I could kick myself, but it'll come again. I'm not. So I don't kick myself too much. But I admit, Lord, I didn't let this happen that could have happened, that should have happened, that would have happened, if I'd just done what the Holy Spirit was trying to get me to do. And he was telling me about having headaches and just pain and all this stuff, and he's constantly in pain and all this. And I knew God told me, just lay hands on him and pray for him. I didn't. Missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. Everybody. Amen. It doesn't mean it's the end of the opportunities. That was just a missed opportunity at that moment. But God's going to heal that man. I've been witnessing to him for years now. He's going to heal him and he's going to get saved.
Amen.
But see, that fruit should have been used, which would have revealing that God loves him, number one, and that God is still on the throne. The power of God being released. When you go out, Paul said, Lord, I don't want to go to hear their fancy words. I want to see the power of the gospel. That fruit is what brings the power of the gospel to a world out there. Amen? Let me go through this real quick. I'm running out of time. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or in the word of God. And in his law, or the word of God, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Amen? When you abide in him and he abides in you and his word abides in you, it'll start producing fruit. What is the fruit? The seed. Remember Mark 4, the seed. The word is a seed and it goes into the heart. And as you meditate on it, meditate is not just thinking about it, but it's actually mumbling it or speaking it quietly to yourself. It starts producing in you a fruit. At first you don't see it. Like any fruit, it starts on the ground, it starts in the heart. Then eventually, as you meditate on it and you continually do this day and night, you continually focus on that, pretty soon it starts producing outwardly. That's when the world starts to see it. Don't jump ahead of it. Take your time, because the Spirit of God will tell you now. That's where obedience comes, now. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. In other words, you're not going to grow weak and weary. When you operate in the Spirit, you don't get tired. I have come up here sick. I've come up here to a point I would cough at home, on and on and on and on. I'd come up here, get under the anointing, and preach, and not cough once. Then I'd get out of here, and I'd start coughing again. Yep. There's something about being in His presence, and that leaf. But I need to learn to live in it all the time, not just here. Amen? If I'm operating in the Spirit, amen? Hallelujah. Let me go on. The ungodly are not so. Oh, wait a minute. I missed one. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does, whatever your hand touches, shall bring life to it. People. The mind, the thoughts. Hallelujah. Let me go on. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Remember what I told you. The branches that are not producing fruit will have been taken off and thrown into the fire. They won't stand in the judgment in front of Jesus. They have been judged already. What were they judged? No fruit, no true connection. No fruit, no true connection. Remember this. I'm saying this because I just thought of people in here, maybe got a thought. Just because the people are backslidden does not mean they won't stand in front of Jesus. The Bible says he's married to the backslider. So don't judge others by their actions or inactions. That's not what you're called to do. Now, you can know them by the fruit in their life. That's what the Bible tells us. So in other words, we don't allow people that aren't producing fruit to stand in front of the congregation and give a message. Amen? Why? Because they can infect the rest of the people. So we want to make sure. If you are a fruit bearer, and look, I understand some fruit is smaller than others. Some is just getting there. Some are growing. This fruit over here is growing large in them, but this one isn't so large in them. So God is working. Those things are just starting to grow, and it's just mature. And it takes time, and it takes this constant process that only God can produce. Amen. Amen? That's the good news. It's a God thing.
Amen.
Amen? Now we have, well, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish. Hallelujah. I still didn't get to where I want to go. God willing, next week we're going to talk about how to keep our connections fresh. And not only that, at the same time, it will also be proof of your connection being fresh. Let me just say this. You cannot love with the fruit of love unless the one who is love is pouring out that love into you. Okay? Why? Because the love that he has and is, no, the love that he is incapable of being done or shown or exhibited as a fruit unless it's him producing the love in us. Yeah. Well, next week we'll talk about it. Listen, I am fully convinced that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ working in us the will to do those things that please our Heavenly Father. It's the Christ in us that is producing the fruit in us that we need to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Amen. It's not man's work. What God is saying to us today is, are you willing to allow me to live my life through you? If you are willing, then he will operate and do what needs to be done to get us to that place.
Amen.
Amen. If you're willing. If you're unwilling, become willing. Just say, Lord, I'm willing. That's it. That's as easy as that. It's not something you got to go up here and pay your dues and all this stuff. Just say, Lord, I'm willing. Whatever you want to do through me, I'm willing to be that vessel. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you praise and glory. We honor you, Father, with our hearts. We want you to know, Lord, that we believe Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We believe he's seated at the right hand of you, Lord, Father, interceding for us right now, standing in the gap for us, praying for us. And Father, we just agreed together with him that we are fruit bearers. That our connection to you, Lord God, is a surefire way to produce fruit in our lives. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Do we have any birthdays and a movie? Come on up. Mm-hmm.